If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to John chapter 17. We're going to be reading a number of different passages from there in the message today. And I got to tell you, this is something that hasn't happened very often with me. But it's happened often enough that I've learned to listen to the Spirit when He's leading me. I had planned a message, one more of the messages from our Is This the Year series that we've been doing. But about the middle of the week, later in the week, as I was working on that, the Spirit just said, no, this is not what we're not supposed to do this week. And so we're changing things up. We're going to be in John chapter 17 talking about communion today. So we may very well come back to finish up our series. Matter of fact, it's in the plan, unless God says, no, don't do that at all. So we'll get back to that later. But today we're going to focus on with you on our celebration of communion, what it means for our life and our mission. And so again, if you need to gather communion elements, go ahead and do that. We'll get to that at the end of the service. Most of us are aware of the three parts of the mission statement for Lakeview Chapel, that we are to connect to God, connect to people, and connect people to God. And it's a fine mission statement. It was here when I got here. It's wonderful. I have no intention of changing it because I love it. But statements must be reflected in our actions. Otherwise, they're just words on a page. We need to use this time of disruption and change that the pandemic has forced us into, use that time to reflect on who we have been and who God wants us to be. We go through these times with God, knowing that He uses everything in our lives, even the hardships, to shape us and to mold us into who He wants us to be. And this is no different. That was the thought that the Spirit led me to this week. What we need to focus on is how God wants to change us, what He wants us to be as we move forward. Our communion remembrance is the perfect picture of what that means for us as a church family. And I want us to talk about that today. So look with me at these three parts of our mission statement with open eyes to honestly see where we are. And also with open ears to clearly hear what the Spirit is saying to us to guide us into who He wants us to be. First of all, the title of this, in case you didn't see it earlier, was Commune is the same, it equals connect. So when we talk about connecting in our mission statement, it's talking about communing, communion. And we have to recognize that commune and connect are practically the very same thing. When we talk about communion each month, it's an integral part of our mission. Communion is not just something that we do every month as a ritual that makes us feel better, or a sacrament that somehow passively changes us because we've eaten this bread and we drink this cup. There's nothing magical about the bread and the juice that we eat and drink, because in the Christian Missionary Alliance, we don't believe that the elements literally become the body and the blood of Jesus. And by ingesting them, they purify us and make us better followers of Jesus. The bread and the juice that we'll eat and drink in a moment are symbols meant to remind us of Jesus. What we do with that reminder, how we respond to the memory, is what changes us. It's us submitting to what God wants in our lives. That we are receiving communion today remotely is just a perfect illustration of that. Where did you get your bread and your juice? You don't have to answer out loud if you don't want to. But where did it come from? It came from all different stores, I'm pretty sure. What bread is it? What brand? You know, how much juice are you going to pour out? Do you want just you probably don't have the little communion cup things at home with you. So how much are you going to pour out today? Is your bread gluten-free? Very important question. There are dozens of differences that we're going to see today in our communion celebration, from what you and I are eating and drinking. And I just want you to know, it just doesn't matter. What matters is how you remember Jesus. Let me say that again. What matters is how you remember Jesus. Your focus on who He is and on what He has done in your life is what will motivate you to change as you follow Him. It's what causes you to want to be more like Him and moves you to ask Him to transform your life and your actions. It's in our communion today that you and I will see and be drawn to the specifics of what it means for us to connect. First of all, remember, we're supposed to connect with God. When we commune in just a little bit, we're in fact connecting. We're connecting with God as we focus on Jesus, on His life and all that He taught and the things that He did, the miracles, all. Focus on those things. Allow them to just fill your mind. As we think about His death, that He took the beatings, that He was crucified, hung on a cross for you. As we think about His life, His death, His resurrection, He didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead, showing His power over everything, including death. As we focus on those things and we remember who Jesus is and what He has done, we connect with God. Because we're thinking about Him, we're focused on Him, we're saying, oh, this is the God I love. This is the God I serve. We connect with God as we read His Word, as we pray, asking Him to transform us. See, connecting is very important with God. Jesus told us in John chapter 10 and verse 30, He was telling His disciples, I and the Father are one. Now that's a connection. There is no difference. Jesus and the Father are one. I don't know how that works exactly. The Trinity is kind of like, whoa, that's hard to explain. But it's the truth. There is such a total connection between Jesus and His Father. It's a part of who God is. Connection. And Jesus' prayer is that you and I would be just as connected with Him and the Father as they are. That we would be one with Him. In John 17, I told you we'd get here in a minute. In John 17, verses 24 through 26, Jesus is praying about His disciples. And He's talking to God the Father. And He says, Father, I want those You have given Me to be with Me where I am, so that they will see My glory, which You have given to Me, because You love Me before the world's foundation. Righteous Father, the world has not known You. However, I have known You, and they have known that you sent Me. I made Your name known to them and will continue to make it known, so that, this is the purpose for it, so that the love You have loved Me with may be in them and I may be in them. Jesus was describing the connection that He desires for us to have with God, with Him. When you hear the instruction to remember Jesus during communion, this is what He's talking about. That the love that God has loved Jesus with would be in us, just as Jesus is in us. We get to be where He is. We get to see His glory. The glory, I love this from John 1, the glory of the one and only Son of God, full of grace and truth. We get to see that. We get to know and experience His unending love because He wants that love to be in us. He is in us. And so I want to encourage you this morning, don't miss this opportunity today to connect with God. Don't allow our communion remembrance to be just another ritual that we do all the time and we're so used to it we don't even think about it. No, focus on this connection with God. Second part is to connect with others. When we commune with God in our communion celebration, we also commune with one another. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we connect with one another. Even as we're in separate places this week, remember that you and I, you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, are one. One in Jesus. Again in John 17, verses 20 to 23, in Jesus' prayer, he said, I pray not only for these, his disciples who are right there, I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. May they all be one as you are, Father. As you are in me and I am in you, may they also be one in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory you have given me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me so that they may be made completely one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Jesus was praying here for you, the ones who believe in him because of the word of the disciples that they passed on. For every one of you who has been forgiven of your sin and has committed yourself to following Jesus as Lord, he said, may they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. You see, it wasn't just wishful thinking on Jesus' part either. This is the reality for Jesus' followers. Jesus is in you, and 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 you. All of you. He's in me. He's not some weird split personality so that the Jesus in you won't agree with the Jesus is in me. No, he's in us all. You and I must choose to live that reality. Did you hear that? He is in us. The reality is Jesus is in you and me. We must choose to live as if that is so. Don't overlook your opportunity today to connect with one another, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want you to know that when we do that, it will make a huge difference in the third part of our mission statement, to connect others with God. The intent of connecting with others is that we just talked about also includes being intentional in building relationships with others in our lives who don't know Jesus yet as their Savior and their Lord. There are people in your family, in your neighborhood, in your job, people that you do business with all the time that don't know Jesus. And we need, as we connect with one another, we need to also be connecting with them to point out that they can have Jesus in their lives as well. But I wanted to point out today what Jesus said about that in these verses as well. Did you notice verse 23 that we read a moment ago? Where Jesus said, I am in them, and you are in me, so that they may be made completely one. And then listen. Why? So that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. You see, when Jesus' followers are living in unity, communing, connecting with one another, the world will notice. The world will know that Jesus is real. Because what else is going to bring so many people from so many different backgrounds and personalities and likes and dislikes and all the rest? What's going to bring all them together as one? Jesus said, I'm the one that brings them together. And the world will notice that unity and be interested to find out more about Jesus. It's the same thing that Jesus told his disciples earlier in John 13. Verses 34 and 35, he said to his disciples, I give you a new command. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you're also to love one another. And he said to them then, by this, by loving one another, everyone will know. Everyone will know that you're my disciples because you love one another. Our relationships with one another as believers is a powerful gospel message in a world that just doesn't see very much unity and love. This will get their attention. Ed Stetzer, who I was reading earlier, wrote, it's time to focus less on what we're against and to renew our love for one another. Because when people see us loving one another in community, we'll find talking about Jesus that much easier. From that platform of loving one another, let them know that Jesus offers that same kind of life of love and unity to them. In John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God, the only true God, and the one that you have sent. This is what life is all about. Jesus was very plain about it again in verse 18 of his prayer. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Jesus' intent was for this love for one another from God, this unity that is in us because Jesus is in us, that would be a platform from which we can take that message, his message of salvation, the good news that there is life and forgiveness in Christ. We can take it to the world. His intention is to send us. When you celebrate communion today, reflect on all of this as well. Think about who needs to see the life and the love that Jesus has given you by how I live my life, the things I say, the things I do, the attitudes I project. Will they see Jesus? Right now, during the pandemic, you and I can't do the things that we're used to doing in order to connect with one another or with the people in our lives that don't yet know Jesus. You know, we feel like we're living risky if we elbow bump. We can't get close. We don't spend time together. We're isolated and separate. And I get it. That is hard. We can't do the things that we normally do. We can't invite someone over for dinner. We can't go to a restaurant together with somebody. Those are all the ways that we're used to connecting. And I get it. It's hard to do things differently. But that is not an excuse for us to not commune, to not connect like Jesus described for us here. We can't await. We can't wait for things to return to normal. They may never be exactly like they were before. Even if things change and society opens up, don't you think this 2 months of isolation has changed us, has changed people and how they connect? You know, normal has changed. Don't long to go back to the way things were so much that you miss the new thing that God wants to do in your life. While you commune and connect with God today, ask Him. Ask Him what He wants to change in your life. It may be a big change. He may just turn you all the way all over the place. It may be a subtle shift in a focus or an activity. I don't know what God wants to do for you. I'm seeking Him the same thing for me. Lord, what do you want to do to change me? But whether it's big or small, I just say, what does it matter? Don't you want to be what He wants you to be in your life? Isn't that what following Jesus is all about. Don't just follow Him when the path is familiar. Don't just follow Him when the path is clear sailing. Follow Him when He leads you down dark ways. Follow Him when He leads you to change, which is hard. I pray that these thoughts will make this communion different for you today. Not different just because we're all in our own homes doing this, but because we're focused more. We're focused better on connecting with God, connecting with one another, connecting other people to God. I pray that it will be different because you will focus on who you commune with today, not how. Will we commune with God? Yeah, that's what this is all about. Will we commune with one another and others, whether it's our spouse, our children, our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, whoever God leads you to? Ask Jesus to show you how to connect in these different days. And ask Him to give you all that you need to make it real. Because Jesus said, when you ask, you'll receive. He's not withholding stuff from us to make things difficult. He's giving us exactly what we need to live for Him. Let's pray. Gracious Father God, we are so grateful that You have invited us into a relationship with You through Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Savior. As we commune with You and with one another today, would You please, by Your Spirit, help us to look beyond the distractions of our lives and see You and hear from You just how You want to be at work in our lives to change us and to grow us to be more like You. Use this communion celebration to strengthen our connection with You, to strengthen our connection with one another as the family of Christ, and to strengthen our connection with those whom You intend for us to engage with. Do that work in us, Lord, for Your glory. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake.